Okay, yeah, don't have a lot of time, so we're going to get right to it. Everyone, break up into groups of 4 to 5 people, and I'm going to write some verses on here that hopefully you can see. Okay, or come and sit at the front, yeah. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to look up these verses, and I want you guys to pull out the benefits of, if you could get up my slides, the first one, of community. So we've been on this journey, maybe you've missed it. I hope you got my email and you caught up. Who caught up? Probably no one, that's okay. I forgive you all. This is part 6 of my community series. And there's been a lot of things we've covered, but I really felt this morning to really get into the nitty gritty of the benefits and the cost of community, like the cost. So we're going to start off with discussion because that was what I really wanted to do, and I didn't know if I started talking, I feel like I wouldn't have gotten the time. I would have just kept talking and blabbing. So that's why I wanted to get to this first. Okay, so I'm going to write the verses. Yeah, sorry. Okay, so Hebrews 10, and you can all read together, or you can have like one person read. Like I'll put a few verses up here. You don't have to read all of them. But I want your groups to come up with a list. You can have one person write everything down in a list of your benefits that you're pulling out of these verses. I should have made a slide, but I didn't think of this until too late in the night, last night. So, Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, Proverbs 17:7, Jude 1:20-23, Hebrews 3:13, Galatians 6:1, James 5:16. Okay, there's like a million more, but I'll just give you these ones to start out. So we've got Hebrews 10:24-25, Galatians 1 to 2, and then I'll just erase this one. James, oh, I don't even know. You guys take your pictures. Good job. We don't have very good markers in the building. I tried to find a few different ones. There might be one more I'm going to add. Ooh, yes. Hebrews, I'm going to add another Hebrews for those that just took a picture. Sorry. Hebrews 12:14-18. Okay, so pull out the benefits of community, of the things that... So basically, I want to make a bit of a scale. The benefits versus the cost or the sacrifice. So we're going to pull out all the benefits and make a list. And then actually in the same time, I didn't have verses for these. You can just think of them on your own. What are the costs? What's the cost of community, of a community? Yeah, what's the cost, the sacrifice? What sacrifices are necessary to create? So then we've got a scale. And we hopefully will see that the benefits will outweigh the cost. It may not, which would be really embarrassing, but hopefully they do. And if you can think of benefits that are not in this list, you can include those as well. So it's a bit of a Bible study. Hopefully that's okay with everyone. Is that okay? Is it good to do Bible study in church? I hope it's a yes. Yes, read, don't listen to me anymore. Yeah, you can have one person in your group write down the benefits as you all come up with them and as you all discuss them. So that way it's not too chaotic. Okay, we got an amazing sound team and crew over there with the visuals. They've blessedly written out these verses for you in big print. Woohoo! Good work. And I may have thrown in a verse that makes no sense, but hopefully they all make sense. If I did, I got the wrong numbers. And if you're on Zoom, sorry, you guys also can be looking these up, and then we're going to talk about them after you, so you'll be able to hear some different answers, but hopefully you can find some answers as well. What are the benefits of community? There's a question. Who's got the question? Sorry. It was Proverbs 17:17, not 7. So if you're confused, I knew I threw maybe one in there that was tricky. 17:17. Proverbs 17:17. Sorry, guys, if you could fix that, maybe. I don't know. How are we going? How are we going? Two more over here. Is anyone done? Nope, not yet. Okay. Pardon? It's a race. It's a race. Okay, I think we're running a little bit low on time. So if you guys can just maybe one more minute, and then you can look up the rest at home. Or invite a friend over for coffee and do it in community. Woohoo! Okay. Okay, we'll do benefits first, and then if we have time, we'll do costs in a couple of minutes. Okay, so we're going to just spat them out, blow them out. Okay, name two.
Two? From Ecclesiastes, good return for labor. For work, yeah. Yeah, working together.
Good and more fruit.
We bear one another's burdens.
So bearing one another's burdens, so it's from Galatians, right? So the benefit is, yeah, you weigh less. You weigh less. Wait, you guys already there. Okay. Yeah, right? Okay, two from you guys that they didn't already say.
Okay. Okay, Hebrews 10, encourage. We get encouragement. The benefit is encouragement, fellowship, and solid teaching.
Ooh, very good. Encouragement, fellowship, and solid teaching. Amen. In community. Yeah, because if you're on your own, you can have maybe some good teaching from yourself, but maybe it's wrong. And you have no one to tell you it's wrong. Okay. Two from you guys.
Okay. We wrote spiritual accountability. And diligence in your relationships. Like, people aren't just going to be, when they're struggling and stuff, you're not just going to let them flounder.
Diligence in relationship. Like, support, yeah. So a continual thing that is, like, very good. I like that first one that you said. Spiritual accountability. Sorry, I'm tired. What about you guys? What is two that you found?
We were going kind of in circles because with everything that was a benefit, there was something else. And one that we landed on was we have to be able to confess if we want the benefit of the help. And then the benefits are great. So there's that vulnerability. If there's no relationship, then you can't really help each other. And then also in relationships, sometimes we'll know something. And we talked about how painful it can be to keep a confidence. And yet, that's a responsibility sometimes. But if someone confesses, then it's in the open, and then we can help each other.
Amen. Yeah, so you see that right there. There's the cost and the benefit together. Of that vulnerability is a cost. It can be shameful, or you're afraid it'll be causing shame. But then it actually releases the healing, which is the benefit. Yes, it is costly and beneficial. Okay, what about you guys?
Okay, we put bearing each other's burdens, and another one was loving conviction.
Love and conviction.
Loving conviction.
Oh, loving conviction. Yes, that's good. So like an outside source convicting you in a sense, yeah, in a loving way, yeah. So maybe you didn't realize you were doing something maybe not so great, and then someone's like, hey, maybe this is the right path. Yes, because on your own, you would have just been continuing on that path, right? Yes. What about you guys? Two ones that people haven't said.
Well, one is protection. So it talks about where two are better than one. And then the other one that hasn't been mentioned yet is praying for each other in the spirit. But then there's also a cost of that too, because to be protection for somebody, you have to be in relationship. You have to be there all the time. And it takes time, sacrifice of time to pray for somebody in the spirit, to be there to encourage them. And yes.
Yes, yes, there is a, yeah, done. Got you.
So this came from the Jude passage, I believe, where we build each other up and we also receive mercy. That's a benefit. We receive mercy from others.
I like that. Yeah, building each other up and receiving mercy. It's beautiful. I'm going to come, yes. Skip you guys? No. Do you have one? Yeah.
Well, there's one thing that hasn't been mentioned, I think, is, Gord mentioned, it was harmony. Ooh. And this was from Hebrews. We've got some costs too, but also safety.
Safety.
When a loved one or a member or can come to you and they trust you to bear their burden on you, you give them that safety to do so.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Safety can be in so many contexts as well, because in, was it the Jude one where you're actually saving people from the fire, right? You're bringing that safety to know that we can stay the path together safely.
Okay. Well, can we go to Galatians then? It's also about that we need to be careful. We need to know our limits. Because we, you know, if we try to rescue somebody, we have to be strong in the area. Just example, I speak for myself. If somebody is gossiping about our political leaders, I might be tempted to join in rather than stay away from that. You know what I mean? Something like, so we need to be careful. And there are some sensitive issues, so it is the matter of trust. We need to trust one another before we share, because if we share with the wrong person, you know, we might find ourselves on CNN or something. CNN. You know?
Yes. So if you guys have been on this journey with me, we did a whole one where we listed the ingredients of a safe and healthy community. And that's what, yes, exactly, Vlad. The community needs to be safe in order to do a lot of these things. Yes, that is very important. Very important point. What do you guys have?
The aspect of restoring in the spirit and to keep love warm. Love stays warm, not isolated as well.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, so warm, yeah, like that togetherness that creates the warmth. If you're alone and isolated, it's cold. We don't like being cold, do we? Well, maybe some people do, but. Do you have any?
No.
No new ones? I could have given more verses, but I figured the time, we didn't have enough time. What about you guys?
Yeah, just one that maybe didn't get covered. Do you want to touch it?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, most of them are, you guys have already covered, but health was brought up here, and, you know, through mutual support and also through lifting one another up, but I like that whole, I mean, health is a beautiful benefit of community.
Amen. Amen. So there's lots of benefits here, but I guess you guys noticed along the way that there is some cost as well. Yeah, you may have noticed that. So I'll be sharing again in 2 weeks' time. So I hope to see you back. Maybe I scared you away. Hopefully not. But we can continue on in 2 weeks more about cost, maybe. But yeah, I do every time I speak, we got to do this quote. Maybe you have it memorized. Who has it memorized? Who remembers that quote? Yes. Okay. What is it?
If you want to go far, go alone. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Hey, nice. Okay, if you haven't seen this quote, if you want to go fast, yes, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Woohoo! It's a great quote. Okay. Oh, does anyone remember this? This was from like almost a year ago. We do? You do? Good. Okay, so that was a reference to community, how we can be protecting, like someone talked about protection and safety. There's greater protection and safety when we do it together, when we face the enemy together. Yes?
That picture is not accurate. Because when those Roman soldiers are in a turtle, mm-hmm. they are actually protected on the side as well.
Yes. There was an extra layer. Okay, that was a fail picture. So the true picture was all around? Is that true? Yes. The armor of God. Oh, yes. So there was an extra layer of shield that is missing in that photo. Whoops. Okay. So this was some of the ingredients here for a safe and healthy community. So things that may come up with cost and benefit, but it's the ingredients. So what actually needs to be present in a community to make it safe and healthy. So time is one, vulnerability, honesty, fun, depth. These are things that you guys brainstormed. I don't know if you remember this, but you guys came up with these, a lot of them. Service, participation, humility, clear boundaries for protection, generations, celebration, testimonies, time, and location. Can you tell I'm a very tired person? And location, yes. So there's a lot of things that need to be in place for a good community. Okay, so I found this quote. Some of you may have seen it on my Facebook profile, if you have Facebook. I slightly edited it, so I didn't actually put full quotations, I think, on it. I put one up there accidentally because I sort of edited it. But the main thought came from a psychologist somewhere on Facebook. I couldn't figure out her name from her profile because it was not her full name. It was just a moniker or something. Anyway, so I'm going to read it. And this touches on the cost. A lot of people want a village, but many don't want to be a villager. That means people want a strong community for support, so for the benefits, right? But are not willing to put in the effort and sacrifice required to be a part of it. Especially if you've listened to the sermons on WCC's website that I did in the past, or if you were here in the past, we covered a lot about Western versus Eastern culture, how the Bible was written with the Eastern culture paradigm of village, whereas we're reading it often with our individualistic Western ideals. So that, yes, there is an effort and sacrifice, but we all want, a lot of us all want the benefit from it, but not necessarily, especially in the West, willing to put in that effort and sacrifice. Okay, I really like this. Being annoyed is the price we pay for connection and community. It can mean, for example, because it can mean lots of things, sharing space when it's inconvenient, showing up when you'd rather stay home, or hosting when you're tired. Okay, now I added this in italics because sometimes we can take this out of context and go, oh, we just have to die, and you know, we never protect ourselves, blah, 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 and then we'll just, you know, lay on the ground, everyone's going to walk all over us. Okay, so that's not what I'm saying. There's balance, right? So we are talking about allowing ourselves to be uncomfortable and inconvenienced or annoyed, not allowing for disrespect and or abuse. So it is in that context. It has to be a safe and healthy environment. But we have to be willing to be uncomfortable and inconvenienced and annoyed. And sometimes we put a high value on our comfort in the West. If it's a little bit inconvenient or if something better comes along, we won't necessarily stick with our commitment, right? Or if we happen to be tired or whatever. Those things can really get in the way. And of course, there is always a limit, probably. Like, right? I'm not trying to make you lay on the floor and die. But however, Jesus did do that for us. But anyways, I'm not going to say that again. We wonder why we feel so lonely. We are paying for convenience and comfort with disconnection. We traded the messiness and beauty of community for the ease of solitude and lost something along the way. And some things are in the benefits here. So we're paying for convenience and comfort with disconnection. And that causes loneliness. Now, our fear of discomfort turned into hyper-independence. Independence is a trapdoor to isolation. I added that part. I added this because the lady said wasn't a Christian, but I put this in. This leads to ineffectiveness in the kingdom of God. Because as we've repeated over and over again, isolation is the enemy's weapon, and it's working to create a useless church. Now, again, West Ottawa, you guys do community actually quite well, I'm going to say. But there are we in the West, and I'm speaking to us, not necessarily like West Ottawa, but to us individuals. Think about yourself and how many times you've allowed inconvenience or discomfort to pull you away or pull you back from the benefit of community. Because in the moment, like Barb brought up, that inconvenience of having to be honest and the possibility of shame or whatever coming into play, it actually took away your healing because you weren't able to make that, wanting to make that sacrifice. Because there is a cost, and you know, Jesus had a cost as well to this whole thing, to the kingdom. There was a cost, and there always is a cost. And are we willing to pay that cost in order to not just receive benefits for ourselves, but actually to see the kingdom of God loosed in Canada, in a Western culture context? because in order to see that happen, we have to do the opposite of the world. And the world is what is telling you it's a cost. Like, the world is saying shame is going to come. The world is going to say what people are going to think of you is too much. Like, if you're losing your reputation is too much of a cost. Losing your wealth is too much of a cost. Losing your time is too much of a cost. Those are the world and the enemy's thoughts that come and invade and actually steal the effectiveness that we could have if we did things the way of the kingdom in community. And over, like we see in John 17, we see in so many places in Scripture how it says, where there is unity, there is the gospel, and there is salvation, there is outreach, there is mission. I once heard this phrase in YWAM, if there was worship, there wouldn't need to be mission. And like, if there was powerful, connected body worshiping and doing things together, there wouldn't even almost need for mission, because it actually would bring people in. And there was this guy who ran a prayer room in New Zealand. He was a good friend of mine. And he was telling me that back in the day when he was running the prayer room, it was just a small little room in downtown New Zealand, and they would be there, you know, praying and worshiping in and out. And he's like, how many times a random homeless guy would come in, or just a random person off the street would come in because they just felt a pull. No idea what this place was, and then they'd actually be saved that night, and then they'd become part of this prayer room and continue in prayer and worship. And of course, there's always still going to be a need for mission until Jesus comes back. But I think if we grasp this concept of this unity, so last night we had a young adults worship night at CBC, and we had about 40, 45 people there. I tried counting and then sort of lost track, but I think it was about 40 to 45 people, all from different churches. And there was a moment in the worship where there was an obvious like breakthrough that happened. And a lot of these young people coming in are from churches or experiences of in worship where they don't necessarily see breakthroughs very often. It's can be very much song, 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 next. And it's not necessarily a space where we're welcoming the presence of God to come and transform us. Yeah, it can feel like a challenge because we're like not really sure how to do it, how to break through the resistance. But we kept pressing in, and Leo came up and shared a very convicting word that he got from the Lord. Basically, you know, when we come into a worship setting, or no, when we go into a sports setting, for example, or something like that, and you see how everyone is expressing everything, their anger, their joy, you know, whether their team is losing or winning, they are very expressive. And he's saying, often we come into church and it's almost like we're boring. Like, there's like, what's happening? We're just, you know, chilling. And so he gave an exhortation to us to let go, like, of our inhibitions and just worship in the freedom that God gave us. And it was like a big shift happened in that moment when he shared that. And people were convicted to open up and to really press in and express themselves. And many have probably never done that before in their lives. And it was so beautiful. We speak the name of Jesus. And that was such a missional song, because it says, you know, shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And it's just such a declaring of the name of Jesus. And when we're together in a worship setting, declaring that to ourselves who may not believe it, like maybe we're like, does Jesus really have, you know, authority in the darkness over every enemy? Is Jesus really over fear and anxiety? It talks about that in the song. And so many of us, even myself, I'm singing this song together in one, you know, body, and I'm believing it more. I'm like, wow, over fear, over anxiety. And the more we sang it together, the more truth resonated and revealed into our hearts that we can then bring it out and actually conquer fear and anxiety in our generation. And that's what, like, we were just saying, like, our generation, you've heard, you've known that we have such high levels of anxiety and fear. Millennials and Gen Zs really, really struggle with this. And if we truly as a body came together and believed this together, fought for this truth together, imagine the impact we could do on our generation and actually combat this lie together And there's so much power in community. If I just went out myself and just tried to do something, like Graham said, you know, when you put work and you have all these people doing it, there's more fruit. And that is the gospel. That is community. We cannot do this alone. Isolation will kill you. It will kill you. And I've said this many times, but it will kill you. Independence is a trapdoor to isolation, because we have this thing of, I can do it myself. I don't need help. I can do it. I don't want to ask for help. I don't want to be burdened or whatever. There's lots of reasons, but we can't be isolated as a Christian, as a kingdom of God. We need to find it. We need to seek out community and also be a part of it. It takes that risk of being vulnerable. And even if we don't feel like anyone's going to accept us, you take that risk, because it's a worthy enough goal. And to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth is an amazing goal. That's our whole purpose, you know, to know God and make him known. And if that's our goal, then the risk is worth it in a lot of times. And obviously, again, I'm not talking about abusive situations or unhealthy situations, but a healthy and safe community is worth the inconvenience, the discomfort, and the annoyance. I have this little thing. Who's heard of the Tuckman model within small groups? Yeah, many people, psychologists, you've probably heard of this. Yes, within community and small groups, there is often, this guy kind of created this four stages of a group. And I've talked about this before, but maybe you don't remember, so I'm going to say it again. There's four stages. The initial stage is forming, where the group comes together and starts to form. During this phase, team members are often polite, positive, and focused on understanding their rules, goals, and the tasks at hand. Then comes the next phase, which is the fun slash hard one that often crumbles a team. It can fully disrupt and disengage and destroy a team if you get through this stage, or if you get to the stage and don't pass through it. So conflict and tension arise as team members start to assert their ideas, leading to potential disagreements and power struggles. This is a critical phase where many teams fail if they cannot resolve conflicts. Who's heard of conflict resolution? Yes. If you're married, that's an important part of marriage, is conflict resolution. And if you've never walked in a village or a community and you've been pretty isolated so far, you're probably maybe not super great at conflict resolution, which is no shame. It's totally fine. It's hard work to resolve conflict. A lot of us run away from conflict. Who runs away from conflict? I do. Who passively aggressively addresses conflict? I also do that sometimes. Who angrily confronts conflict? Yeah, that's another one. Sometimes people are raising their hands. Yeah, so there's different ways to address conflict, sorry. But there's a healthy way to address it, right? Which comes in, the conflict resolution, where you actually learn how to work together, and then you can start norming. Teams start to develop cohesion as they resolve differences, establish norms, and begin to understand each other's strengths and weaknesses. So that entails getting to know the other teammates, right? You got to actually know who's on your team. You can't just be caring about yourself. Mutual respect grows and the team members accept their roles and responsibility. And then you get to the stage that we are all aiming for in the Lord Jesus. Performing, when we actually are bringing the gospel to earth and bringing heaven to earth. The team reaches a high level of performance, operating efficiently towards common goals. There is a clear structure, trust, and flexibility in how the team works together. Now, you can't get to performing. You can't skip. You can't go straight from forming to performing. You do have to go through a storming phase. And how many people love storming phases? Maybe some do. Some people actually really love a fight, but they love a good fight, you know, not a bad fight. And that's good. We need those people because they can help us, the ones that want to run away. Because, we can't run away when we get to storming. So the annoyances, inconveniences, and discomforts, those three words, they all kind of come into play in that storming. So there was this girl. Within the YVM context, it is a very close-knit community. You are living, breathing, eating, sleeping, everything together for months at a time. You cannot get away from each other. And Sarah knows this, Joel knows this. Like there's those moments where people really irritate you so badly. There was this girl, she was one of my best friends. And we decided to go on a trip to New Zealand together in between two schools. Anyways, we get on this trip and I'm gonna say, like, I got so annoyed by her. And I don't even know why I was so annoyed by her. Like there was no reason. She wasn't doing anything weird. But everything she did made me want to punch her. So bad, but she's an amazing person, and there's literally nothing on that. Anyways, nothing on her. It was not her fault. It was all these things in me that were starting to rise up because she was actually bringing out which is important. We need those things to rise up so we can actually deal with them and face them and get them out of us. Like Chuck always mentions, like, just inside there's those, you know, the cage, and you have people in there, and you know you're always giving them a punch every once in a while, or you have all these things that are deep inside that you don't often actually get them out of you. They're stones, you know, like all the stones. So you need the people around you. Iron sharpens iron, where it brings you out. Now, when that happens, though, you tend to like blame that person or whatever, and you're like, it's all them. It's their, like, that she's just an annoying person. I am perfect in this situation. Anyways. So all that to say is, after we were there for 2 weeks, and I think after about a week, I really had to get like into my prayer closet with the Lord and just wrestle out these annoyances and irritations and being like, why is this happening? What is the root? It's my fault. Like, it's not my fault, but it's like, it's on me. I need to deal with this. I can't just be like, well, she's just an annoying person, not a good friend. When we get back, I'm just not going to really talk to her. I had to fight it out because I was like, no, I have to fight for my relationship with her. So I'm going to spend the time and figure it out. And I did. I don't even remember what the root was. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, she's still my best friend, one of my best friends today. And I'm glad I fought for that, because there's so many times where we lose relationships because we didn't stick it out. We didn't fight it out for that person, for what they can actually teach us and how we can teach them. We just give up so fast because of these inconveniences, discomforts, and annoyances. Yeah, and annoyances. Who gets annoyed? People are annoying. Yes. Our spouses annoy the crap out of us, right? But we're not going to get, you know, just cut that off because he's a little bit annoying. Like, we're going to work it through because we made vows, right? And that's the same with the body. We made vows to one another. You know, we are family, and we fight for our family. And too often we treat our church like just acquaintances or friends. We say we're family, but do we truly, like, fight for my neighbor like my family? Like, my neighbor within church, like, do I fight for Lisa like family? Does that make sense? Is this making sense? Okay. Whew. To be continued. Again. Okay. Do you have any thoughts, Chuck?
Thank you, Hannah, for that. It was beautiful.